We'll stand together for prayer just before we have the preaching of God's word. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the means whereby we can communicate with Thee. We thank You, Lord, that Thou hast not only communicated with us through the Holy Scriptures, the light, the sword, the mirror, the epistle, but Father, we thank You that Thou hast devised a way whereby we can commune with Thee. And we thank You for the place of prayer. We thank You that through the shed blood, by the rent veil, we can enter into the holiest of all, into the very presence of the Lord, our Maker and Creator. And we can call upon Thee, and we can talk to Thee, as a man talketh with a friend face to face. Bless the prayer times of Thy children individually and personally. Bless our prayer times publicly on a Wednesday night. May we meet with Thee face to face. And O God our Father, now we pray Thou wilt shut us in and speak to our hearts and bless the proclamation of Thy word. For we know the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And we pray that Thou wilt bless it to our hearts this day, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Do take your seats, and as you do so, can I ask you please to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. We started what will be just a short series of messages for the believer in these Sabbath mornings, and we've entitled them Simple Steps to Being Spiritually Strong. We commented last week by way of introduction that the Old Testament and indeed the New Testament exhortation to the child of God is be strong in the Lord. And we are now setting before you simple steps that every Christian can take to be strong, to be mature in the Lord. And last week we considered the subject of reading your Bible. Now, when the Apostle Paul gave the exhortation to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and by the power of His might, he went on to list the various items of the Christian's armoury: the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and so on. But when he finished that little section, he concluded in verse 18, it is, by saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he highlighted there that part of the Christian armor is prayer. That teaches us and reminds us that prayer is a vital aspect of maintaining, of developing, and of strengthening spiritual growth within the soul and within the life of the Christian. I think it was Robert Murray McShane who said that prayer is as natural to a Christian, or should be as natural to a Christian, as breath is itself. And what Paul is teaching us is that you cannot and you will not be strong in the Lord if you are not taking the time to seek the Lord in prayer. If we mark for a moment what prayer does for the Christian, you will see how important prayer is in the life of the believer. Prayer brings us near to God. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. And through prayer, it's illustrated when the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom at the death of Christ. It signified that not merely the high priest could go in to where the immediate presence of the Lord was, but all believers could enter in on the basis of the shed blood And by prayer, we enter into the very presence of the Lord, and He draws nigh to us. Prayer helps us overcome temptation. It was the Savior who said, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." He taught His disciples in the Lord's Prayer to say, "Lead us not into temptation." And prayer delivers us from the temptation of the world and the flesh and the devil. Prayer, furthermore, brings us victory over the enemy. When the Father brought His Son to the Lord and complained that an evil spirit had possessed Him, but the disciples couldn't cast the devil out, the Lord said, "This kind, go not forth but by prayer and fasting." In other words, there was prayer needed to overcome the onslaught of Satan in the home, and for that demon to be cast out of the young boy, the Lord said prayer was vital to give victory in that situation. And it reminds us that in overcoming the devil in our lives, we must be active in prayer. Of course, prayer not only brings us near to God and helps us overcome temptation, not only brings us victory over the enemy, but it receives the blessing from the Lord. "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." Therefore, you can see how vital in the private life of any individual Christian that prayer really is. And private prayer was the subject that the Lord Jesus was addressing in verses 5 to 7 of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 is part of the great Sermon on the Mount, probably the most famous of the Lord's sermons, although I would put it to you that some other of the Lord's sermons, they're all equally important and they should all equally be known by God's people. But probably this one is the most well-known one because it sets forth the characteristics of a true Christian. The Lord is taking in chapter 5 the characteristics that should mark a Christian's life. In chapter 6, He begins to show God's people how they should live their lives and particularly perform their religious duties and how they should perform them in a spiritual and humble manner. And in verses 5 to 7, He particularly deals with the subject of private prayer. Can I point out, if you just look at these verses, and I want to particularly highlight verse 6, but notice how verse 5 and verse 6 begins. He says, "And when thou prayest," and then in verse 6, "but thou when," and I'm highlighting the word "when thou prayest." You see, the Lord was showing that it's not a case of if a true Christian prays, but when they pray. And the Lord was assuming that His disciples knew that they would have times of private prayer. He's not saying if you pray, pray like this and like this and don't pray like this. He's saying when you pray. And He's assuming that true followers of Him will take time to pray. I think it was J.C. Ryle who said, "Our prayers may be short. Our prayers may seem weak. Our prayers may seem feeble. But if we pray, it is the mark, one of the marks, that we are a true child of the Lord." My friend, I say this to encourage you. Do not be put off because you feel your prayers are insignificant, or they go a long time unanswered, or you feel you don't pray for long enough, or you feel your prayers are weak. The Lord saying the mark of the true Christian is that when they pray, they do pray. And therefore, when you pray, let it comfort your soul that you are calling unto your Heavenly Father. Now, in these verses, and I'm particularly highlighting verse 6, the Lord instructs us and teaches us as to how we are to pray when we do pray. And there are four lessons from these verses on the subject of private prayer. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, if we're going to go on with the Lord, if we're going to be close to the Lord, then the second simple step that you should take is that you should pray regularly. And there are four lessons from these verses that present themselves to us on the subject of private prayer. I want you firstly to notice that the Lord gives a precaution. He says, when thou prayest, verse 5, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. And then in verse 7, he again says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. And the Lord is counteracting two common problems or errors in his day. He doesn't want them to pray as the hypocrites prayed. Now, who were these hypocrites? Well, you will see that in verse 5, they are associated with the synagogues and the street corners. He says, for they loved to pray standing in the synagogues. The synagogues were the local places of worship. The male Jews had to attend the temple at least three times in the year. It was where the sacrifices were performed. But in the towns and in the villages and in the cities, the synagogues were built, and they attended there every Sabbath for prayer and for the reading and proclaiming of the Word of God. And these hypocrites that the Lord has in mind, they are associated with the synagogues. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that the Lord was speaking about the Pharisees. Because he said they loved to stand in the synagogue or the street corner, and they loved to make long prayers to be heard of men. Now, what does that remind you of? Well, if you turn over to Luke chapter 18, you will see an example of, I believe, what the Lord had in mind in Matthew chapter 6. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 12, the Lord tells the story of the two men who went into the temple to pray. Verse 11, one was a Pharisee, the other a publican. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed. I want you to notice this little phrase, he prayed thus with himself. He thought he was praying unto God, but his words got no further than himself. He began to say, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And there you have the example that the Lord is dissuading us from following. He's saying, don't be as the Pharisees who want to stand and pray and make long, boastful prayers about themselves within their praying, boasting in their good deeds, trusting in their own righteousness, working for their own salvation, putting down others who they deem not to be as good as they are. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 6, you'll see that he sums this spirit up of these Pharisees. For it tells us, in verse 5, that they may be seen of men. There's what the Lord is really getting at. And he's saying, as a true follower of the Lord Jesus, as a true Christian, do not pray to be seen of men or heard of men. My friends, that's a principle, and I could just broaden the whole lesson out this morning, but this is a principle that the Lord would have us take note of, not only in relation to our praying, but in everything we do by way of religious devotion to the Lord. We're not to do it to be seen or heard of man. He shows us that even in the first verses, speaking about our almsdoing, giving financially to support the Lord's work. He says in verse 2, "Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto thee, they have their reward." So whether we're talking about almsgiving, whether we're talking about prayer, whether we're talking about church attendance, whether we're talking about some other devotion unto the Lord, the Savior is saying very clearly, we are not to do it to be seen of men. We're to do it honestly and sincerely and faithfully and humbly and regularly unto the Lord. My friend, if we're attending the house of God, if we're praying for any other reason than we're praying unto the Lord, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. The Lord's giving us that cautious note. And I think there's another lesson that we shouldn't overlook. When the Lord is giving the warning to His own people, He's saying that there is a danger that you could fall into the same trap, the same error of the Pharisees. There's the same, while we have been redeemed, we still struggle with the old sinful nature within our hearts. And there can be a danger that the true child of God could perform religious devotions or acts to be seen of men, for the glory and the praise of men. My friend, the Lord is warning us against it. We are to do nothing for the glory or the praise or the view of other men. He's saying, don't be like the hypocrites. They only do it for the praise of men. But then he says something else. And look at verse 7. There's another precaution here before we move on. He said, "And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." The Pharisees were the religious hypocrites. But he's saying, don't fall into the trap they fall into. But don't fall into the trap that the heathen, the unconverted, those that bow down to their idols and chant to their false gods, don't fall into their trap either. If you want an example of what I believe the Lord is speaking about, we'll take one from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18. It's a well-known portion of scripture. Elijah had called the nation to Mount Carmel. He had set a challenge to the prophets of Baal. He said, "We'll build two altars. You build your altar, I'll build mine. You put on your altar a bullock and sacrifice it, and I'll put a bullock on the altar of the Lord and I'll sacrifice it. You call unto Baal and see if he will put fire upon the altar. And when you've done, I call upon Jehovah and see if he put fire in my altar." And the God that answers by fire, he is the God. If you look at verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 18, it tells us let's just look at verse 28. I'm having another Wednesday night moment here. It's verse 28. I get the wrong text on Wednesday night. I don't know why I put verse 18 in my notes this morning. I need to pay more attention. Verse 28 says, "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out." And verse 29, "It came to pass when midday was past." Now, let's get the picture in our mind. The prophets of Baal, they are chanting unto Baal. They are cutting themselves with their knives. And they are chanting from morning to midday. Several hours have passed. And it's just vain chanting and repetition and self-harm they feel that because they've gone from 9 in the morning to 12 in the afternoon, their vain repetitions and chanting, the Baal's going to hear them. Now you compare that with what Elijah did, and Elijah mocked them. He said, maybe he's asleep or he's away on some other job and Baal's not hearing you. But look at verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said. And if you read verse 36 and verse 37, you will discover there are just two sentences. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. That's his petition. And that I am thy servant and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That's his prayer. It's two sentences. It could be uttered in under a minute. It was clear. It was concise. It had a simple request. And in answer to that request, the fire of God immediately fell upon the sacrifice. There is a place for long prayers. But when you read prayers in the Bible, you discover that some of the most simple, short petitions are the ones that God answered and answered so quickly and swiftly. Elijah, there was no vain repetition. There was no ongoing chanting before the Lord. Rather, it was simple, concise, short, faithful prayer, and God answered it straight away. The Lord's saying in Matthew 6, when you pray, you don't have to go on with empty repetition. The Lord hears the simple, straightforward cry. And when you've committed your way to the Lord, you can leave it confidently with Him. So he's saying right from the outset, don't be like the hypocrites to do your prayers before men. Don't be like the heathen who think with their vain chanting and repetitions. And I was reading one commentator during the week, and he says really the modern version of this is like the rosary prayers that Roman Catholics will make. And they go through the little beads and they go through them and they go through them and they go through them. Vain repetition. He says, we're not to pray unto God like that. But if you turn back to Matthew 6, you'll see then the second lesson that the Lord's bringing out. Not only is there a precaution, but there is preparation. So he's saying, don't pray like this. But now when you do come to pray, there is preparation that you must make. And we're looking at verse 6 now. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, and there's the preparation. And it's really twofold. There's to be separation. Enter into thy closet. The Lord is teaching us that there is to be a time when we get alone with the Lord. We're to enter into the closet. We're to enter into a place where we are alone. It can be a room in your own home. Daniel had a closet in his home. And he opened the windows, not that men could see him, but he opened the windows signifying that he was praying towards Jerusalem. And he did it three times in the day. And when the king said, men were not to pray anymore upon the pain of death or being thrown into the den of lions, he went in and he did as he always did. He opened the windows towards Jerusalem and he prayed unto the Lord in that closet, privately, himself, alone with God, in his home, three times a day. Let me say, your closet doesn't have to be a room in your home. It can be anywhere where you get alone with the Lord. Jacob's closet was at the brook at Peniel. And oh, there was a problem that Jacob was facing. He was returning to meet it to the land of Canaan in obedience to the Lord's word. And his brother Esau was coming to meet him. And he was terrified of Esau. And he was fearful that Esau would slay his wives and his children. And as the sun set, he sent his wives and his children across the brook. And his closet became that little brook at Peniel. He named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen the face of God. And from the sun went down until the sun rose, he wrestled with the Lord in petitions, in pleas, in arguments. But it tells us in Genesis 32, verses 22 to 24, he was left alone with God. Under the stars of heaven by the stream, he was alone with God, doing business with the Lord in prayer. And I'm saying to you, child of God, if you're going to be strong in the Lord, then you're going to have a time of prayer each day. And I'm saying to you that you need to get alone. You need to have that place. It may be in the home at the start or end of the day, or it may be somewhere else during the day where you can just be alone with the Lord. But there's something else by way of preparation. Not only must we get alone with the Lord, but we must shut everything of the world out. Do you see in verse 6? It says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. There's not only to be separation, there's to be exclusion. We're to shut everything else out. Now there'll be petitions you'll make because of what's going on in your life. But I think the lesson the Lord is teaching is this. That when it comes to our private prayer times, we are to close everything of the world's duties and demands from our minds and life, and we are to pray unto the Lord. I can only personally testify that when I get down to private prayer, the number of thoughts that come into my mind of this chore that I have to do, or that church duty that I have to attend to, or this matter with the family that and running the home that needs addressed, or some matter from the world events and the news comes into your mind and you're thinking how much of a disgrace it is, or how much of an event, how big an event it has been. And the point I'm making is that our minds seem to be bombarded with everything and anything, only the heavenly and the spiritual things, when we come to pray. And yet the Savior is teaching us that if we want to really get down to business with God, we've got to close them out. Shut the door. And shut everything outside for that time you have seeking the Lord and calling upon Him. There's precaution. The Lord tells us how we're not to pray. And then there's preparation. The Lord tells us what we're to do to pray or before we pray. And then thirdly, I want you to notice from verse 6, there are petitions, for now he tells us to actually pray. Verse 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, here's the little phrase we're thinking of now, pray to thy Father. The word prayer means to make request. It refers to asking or making petition unto the Lord. Prayer is not only about praise and adoration, but it is about making our requests known unto the Lord. The story is told, I think it was of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was sitting in a prayer meeting on one occasion, and a brother in the Lord was waxing very eloquent in public prayer, and he was thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. And he went on for so long, giving thanks and praising and worshiping the Lord, that eventually Spurgeon just called out, man, would you ask for something? Prayer is not only about praise, but it's asking God. We have so many needs. And as Elijah did upon the mount, he asked so simply that the Lord would answer. Let it be known that thou art God in Israel. That was his prayer. That was his request. And so it is with us. We are to ask for the salvation of our friends and our loved ones. Ask for God's protection and blessing upon our homes. Ask for God's care upon his church. Ask for the blessing of God when we enter into church, that our hearts would be edified and blessed. Oh, if we start the list of petitions, how many petitions there are. Let us ask great things of God. Why? Who was it that said, let us ask great things of God and expect great things from God? Why can we ask for great things from God? The answer's in the verse. Pray to thy Father. That speaks about our relationship. And our Heavenly Father, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And one of the traits about a father is that he loves to give good things to his children. The Lord addressed that, and for sake of time, I'll not turn to the passage, but if you mark it in your mind, Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13, the Lord said, you who are fathers, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If your son asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? He didn't answer the question because the folk knew. The children ask for food, we present the best that we have. We wouldn't give our children stones for bread. And we love to give our children the good things in life. Then the Lord went on to say, if you, ye, being evil, you who have a sinful heart by nature, if ye, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? When we come in prayer, let's come with that confidence that we're not coming to one who wants to hold back. We're not coming to one who wants to always take the chastening rod to us. We're not coming to one that would deprive us. We're coming to our Heavenly Father. He has redeemed us through His Son. We are His children by redemption. And He loves to bestow good things upon us. Therefore, we can ask in confidence, Lord, bless us in this way. Grant us this petition. You're our Heavenly Father. Does that not encourage your heart to seek the Lord and ask of Him? We can never ask too much or for too many spiritual blessings, for the Father loves to give them to His children. There's one final thought we leave in relation to private prayer. Strong in the Lord, we need to pray privately and we need to pray regularly. There's one final thought in this verse on private prayer. It tells us, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's prayers that we pray, at least I can only speak for myself. There's things I pray for privately. I would never think of praying publicly in front of my brethren or sisters. And what the Lord is saying is there will be things that you will ask for in secret. And no one else will know about, and maybe no one else should know about. But your Father which seeth in secret, He will reward thee openly. There are a number of moving scenes in Scripture. I'm not an overly emotional person. But there are some scenes in Scripture that I can't read without a tear coming to my eye. When Joseph made himself known to his brothers, that's one of them. There's another one in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that I close to illustrate this point this morning. And it's the story of Hannah. When Hannah went up to the temple to pray, Penina mocked her. And Penina made fun of her in a jealous way because Elkanah loved Hannah more than Penina. That very story in itself teaches why polygamy is wrong. But Hannah took her burden to the Lord. And you'll remember Eli the priest, he saw her and he saw her lips moving. But there were no words coming out. Such was her intensity in prayer. And he thought she was drunken. And he rebuked her and she told him, I'm not drunken with wine. I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit and I'm praying unto the Lord. She prayed unto the Lord and her request, her desire was secret. And then she went away and she conceived and she said to her husband, I'm not going up again to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem until I've weaned the child. And the end of chapter 1 you read that when the child was weaned, she went up. And she looked out Eli. And she found him. She said, for this child, I prayed. No one knew about it. For this child I prayed. The Lord heard me. He answered my petition. And she could point at him. This is what I prayed for. And there he is. The Lord answered my prayer. There might be some in here. And you're praying for things that no one else knows you're praying for. And maybe it's a child. Maybe it's another family member. And you never utter the words publicly. The Father which seeth in secret. He says, I reward thee openly. Child of God, you keep praying privately. Keep praying for those petitions on the basis of the promise for prayer. No one else might see you at prayer, but your Father in heaven does. He said, while the Pharisees and hypocrites have their reward, and that men praise them and talk about how eloquent and how holy they are, I reward you openly by answering your prayers. If we want to be strong in the Lord, let us take time to get alone with God and offer our prayers and supplications unto Him. Let's bow in prayer just as we close. Just as before we pray, can I remind you, the stewards will steward the pews out. We appreciate your patience and adherence to that matter. Father, accept of our thanks for being in the house of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to pray and teach us to pray. For we know not how to pray aright as we ought. And oft times, Lord, we wish we could pray more. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt teach us and instruct us in prayer. And that those petitions that we pray in secret, we ask that the Lord will reward us openly and be our Father, a bestower of good things upon thy children, and the one that answers our prayers. Part us with thy blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.